Welcome, everyone, to the Connecting Goodness podcast. We're here to talk about Jesus Christ and to learn from other people's stories and their lives about how Jesus Christ has impacted their life. And I am so excited. Today, I have my dear friends, Amber and Andrea, that I grew up with, that are here on the podcast today. Welcome, you guys, to the Connecting Goodness podcast.
Thanks, Hi. Heidi.
I'm so glad you guys are here. I was thinking leading up to this just about all our memories. So we knew each other when we were like little girls, elementary school, up through high school. We all lived in San Diego, and just so many memories of toilet papering and slumber parties and dances and just a lot of really good memories together. Do you guys ever think of like a favorite memory from those days growing up in La Mesa?
I often think about how I wish my kids could have that experience. Mm-hmm. But things are different now, and that's okay. But I think they all those experiences just built upon each other to build the friendships that we have now.
Yeah, definitely. It was like a very special time, and I feel like we were just really blessed to have the group of girls that we did to grow up with and have fun with. So it's fun to reconnect now. And so just talking about our childhoods and kind of looking back at that time of life, I wanted to start out and ask both of you about when you first learned about Jesus Christ and how you started to develop a relationship with him at a young age. So maybe we'll start with Andrea and then go to Amber.
I cannot pinpoint a certain memory or a certain time when it was like I was introduced to Jesus. He was just kind of always a part of my life as far back as I can remember as my mom or my dad. You know, my family really taught the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we grew up praying every day, and we'd read the scriptures, and we'd go to church, and he just, it's hard to think back of like a first time experience with him, but I know that one of my main, not a main memory, I should say, but that feeling of love, that Jesus Christ was a real person, and I could feel his love for me. And it was expressed, you know, in different times, different places. Like, I can't think of a specific point where it was like, this was the first time I really felt his love. But I'm just grateful for teachers who helped me recognize that what I was feeling was his love, feeling that confidence and that peace and that comfort from him, from just having that be as part of my life since for a really young age, was just his love was the first thing I came to know about him.
Which is so cool. I think, honestly, that's the most important and basic thing to know about the Savior. So that's really cool that that was the first for you to know. Amber, what about you? How did you first learn about him and develop that testimony at a young age?
Yeah, I'd have to echo a lot of what Andrea said. I think our home as a child was a place of love and nourishment. And so to realize that we have a heavenly father was not a foreign, did not feel foreign at all. And to have an older brother that was our savior also felt very natural. I think another way as a young child that I really felt close to Jesus Christ and heavenly fathers through music at church, we would sing songs. And I especially remember when San Diego was getting a temple. They were building a temple, which is a place of worship and covenant keeping for members of the church. And we would make drives out to the temple grounds to see it being built. And those being very special times as my parents would take just a moment, you know, we were young and restless, but just a moment to talk about the importance of it, inviting us to make that goal to go there someday when we were older. And so just to know that Jesus was talked about. It wasn't just a Sunday at church thing, but he was a part of our everyday comings and goings.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that you guys did that. We actually did that as a family too. So again, for those who may not be members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, like Amber said, the temple is like a special place, the house of the Lord, where we go to worship him and make covenants with him. And yeah, it was a new temple in San Diego, and it was so exciting to see it like from the ground up get built. I love how both of you talked about just your families. I know both of you come from wonderful and amazing families, and just how that environment really nurtured your learning and belief in Jesus Christ. That's really cool to hear about. As you got older and became teenagers, so we attended what is called seminary in high school. It's really like a program where you go and you learn about Jesus Christ through the scriptures. And so for us, we would go at a little after 6 a.m. every day during the week to seminary. And we would learn about Jesus Christ and study the scriptures, and then we would go off to high school. And so you do have a teacher that teaches seminary, but I remember you guys, and I think a couple of others, volunteered to teach seminary one day, and it was all focused on Christ. And at the time, I remember I was really impressed. I was like, wow, they're volunteering to teach seminary, and that it was all focused on Christ. So I'd love to hear a little, like, was that, whose idea was that? How did that come about? I don't know if I know that actually.
So it was Amber. I do. So it was Amber and I, and then our younger sisters, Kira and Brittany. Kira is my sister and Brittany is Amber's sister, and they were also best friends. And the four of us were all together. We were talking about how we wished we were getting a little bit more out of seminary, how we wished it was a little bit, a little bit more focused on Christ. In that week, we were supposed to be reading or learning from the New Testament about Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. And we just pulled out our scriptures, the four of us, and we started digging into it. We were like, oh, we could do this, and oh, I could teach like this. And it just kind of grew spontaneously from this desire of wanting to have that experience. And then we spearheaded it. We told the teacher, hey, can we please take this over for the day and teach it? And I remember that lesson as well. It was beautiful to work with the Spirit, and a great experience to come to know Him and want to share Jesus with those others in our class.
Wow, that's really cool. I think it was so spiritually mature of you guys to have that desire and put it together. I remember I was really impressed, and it's kind of cool to hear the backstory. I remember like Kira and Brittany being a part of it too. So it was a sister effort, which is cool too. But during that time in high school, like thinking back to that, I remember for me, even though seminary had its ups and downs, like you said, it had its ups and downs. But I remember it was a good place to be with good friends like all of you, and to learn about Christ and to study the scriptures. But then you would go off to high school, and I often just felt like just bombarded at school. There was so much that was just very different from what we would learn and experience at seminary and at church and in our homes. And so, but you guys, particularly, we had wonderful friends in our church growing up, but you guys really stuck out to me as just always staying very faithful to the teachings of Christ, even as teenagers, with everything that's being thrown at you. And so just curious, like during those teenage years, what did you do to keep strengthening your testimonies and your faith in Jesus Christ? And maybe we'll start with Amber and then go to Andrea.
Yeah, I can't help but think of the I lift you and you lift me and we'll both ascend together saying, because we really did lift each other. That's what I felt. We would talk about the things we were reading in the scriptures, discuss the things we had heard in seminary or Sunday school, and it encouraged us. I might tell on you, Heidi, a little bit. I remember when we were little, we were probably under 10, and we have the opportunity once a month in our congregation to stand up and share our testimonies of Jesus Christ. And it was common for the adults to stand up, but children were invited to as well. And sure enough, Heidi was a very regular. She would go up there and share her feelings of Jesus Christ. And you know, I knew who Jesus Christ was, but I never felt the courage to get up in front of a large congregation. And there's one Sunday we got into Sunday school, and Heidi looked at every one of us in that class and said, why aren't you getting up there and sharing your testimonies? And I felt a little like, oh, like, I don't have a testimony just for me. Like, that's kind of selfish. I need to be sharing it. And so Heidi's always been a great example of not being shy about sharing what we know about Jesus Christ. You know, he is the savior of the world, the redeemer of the world, and the blessings that he extends are to everyone. And so I think from that point on, for one, I knew Heidi was watching and I needed to be doing my duty, but also just it was open communication. We helped each other along. And I think seminary and studying the scriptures first thing in the morning, that was a huge shield during the school year. A memory just came to my mind of 9/11. Normally, from driving from the church building to the high school, we would listen to the radio. And of course, it probably would have been on the radio that day. I'm sure it was. But for some reason, we had a CD on. And so it didn't go to the radio. And we had had a really wonderful seminary lesson that day. And I remember everyone in our car, we were just talking about it. And we felt so close to God and things of eternal importance. And we got to the school and it was just like a graveyard. Like everyone was just like silent and scared and kind of in classrooms. And we were a little oblivious. And my first period class was US history. And that's where I first learned what happened that day with the Twin Towers, and just feeling so grateful that I had been in seminary that morning, that I had been reading the scriptures. And so I felt an element of peace. Sure, there was still a lot of uncertainty and unrest, but I knew where that peace comes from. And it's really from keeping the commandments. They are our safeguard in so many ways. And they don't prohibit us, but they enable us to better live our lives. And I felt that at a very young age and decided as a teenager that I wouldn't deviate from that because of that freedom and that confidence that it gave me as I followed what Jesus Christ had told us to do.
I have to agree. I look back and I don't know how I would have traversed the perils of high school, as it were, if it weren't for seminary. I ended up going to a different high school than the two of you and everyone else in our congregation, but I still attended seminary with you all. And that was my spiritual protection. That was my emotional protection. That buoyed me up to go to school and not really have close friends there. It was okay because they were just not with me right now, but they were still my friends. I don't remember. I would go to your high school's football games. I went to your guys' prom, and you know, but I loved that influence of those righteous friends. I remember once there was we had had a special meeting for the youth on Sunday evening where we would been instructed, someone spoke about a principle of the gospel or something to us. And there's a place in the building, there's a little stairway kind of next to the kitchen. And we would all congregate there and sit on the steps and have our dessert. And the next day there was no school. It was a holiday. And we, as Heidi mentioned earlier, we love to do sleepovers. We love to get together and hang out and spend the night and all together. And I remember we're like, there's no school tomorrow. Maybe we can have a sleepover. But we all had been taught like the Sunday is the Sabbath day. That's the Lord's day. And so we came up with a plan and we presented it to our parents and we did it. We were like, can we please have a sleepover? We will read our scriptures together. We will all bring our journals and we will write in our journals together. And we'll make sure it's a really uplifting and spiritual. We'll still try to remember the Lord on his day, but can we do it together as a sleepover? Our parents said yes, and that's what we did. We all got together and we bought our sleeping bags and our scriptures and our journals. And I mean, what amazing friends to get together and want to read the scriptures together, to want to write in our journals about the things we'd learned and spiritual promptings we were having and just in life in general. And that was such a huge blessing. And then also to also not just rely on it, but to take the time to read the scriptures every day. I had a little bit longer commute to high school after after seminary, and before I had my driver's license, my mom would drive me. And I remember I had been struggling to find time in my schedule as a teenager for my scripture study for even just 10 minutes. And I remember speaking to Bishop Riggins, actually, who was the leader of the congregation, just about, you know, where do I think I could find time to read my scriptures? And he was like, well, how long does it take to drive to school? And it like, the light switch flipped on. I was like, oh, it takes just about that long. And so I would read after studying the scriptures with you all. I would go and I would read my scriptures on the way to school every morning. And between that and relying on my Father in heaven through prayer throughout the day, it's like I took Jesus to school with me every day. That's the best way I can think of to get through high school. And I was just talking to the seminary students a couple months ago, like, do you know how much I wish I could still get up and study the gospel with my friends every day? What a beautiful blessing that is to get to gather and to worship Christ and to learn of him together.
Yeah, thank you both for sharing. It's so fun to hear your memories and your experiences. I totally don't remember asking everyone to share their testimonies. That was, yeah, I had totally forgotten that. And I do remember the sleepover. I will say for listeners, we did do other things just besides reading our scriptures and praying all the time. We had a lot of fun together, but I do think, like you both talked about lifting each other, and I think there is that spiritual bond that you have with friends that really is truly bonding and connects you, and it's really a togetherness in Christ. For the, I haven't talked about this, but in the Connecting Goodness like podcast logo, I have a palm tree. And in part, I just like palm trees because I'm from San Diego and I love the beach. But every palm leaf has like a stem in the middle. And then there's the different leaves that come together on that stem. And so it just made me think how when we connect with Christ, he connects all of us. And, you know, you could maybe all be from San Diego, but you could be anyone. And when you have that connection through Christ, it really brings you together. And there's that unity and that friendship with other people. But thank you for sharing your experiences. And I think maybe inadvertently, I don't know, but we've really highlighted seminary as a great strength. And it's interesting how sometimes you're doing things and you're trying to be faithful. And personally, I don't remember having the best attitude every morning about seminary, but you look back and you realize you were being molded and shaped and growing, and that, you know, Christ was impacting your life through that obedience. So thank you both for sharing. That was fun to hear all those different thoughts.
Can I just share one more story?
Yeah.
Just about lifting. So when I was 12, so we were in middle school, my Nana was killed in a car accident. Mm-hmm. And I, one of the things that I look back and I remember as I remember my friends, I remember that my friends got together and made a card and sent it to me. And I remember that at her funeral, even though they didn't have a relationship with her, they showed up. Heidi was there. Amber was there. Lauren was there. There were those dear, dear friends who showed up to support me. And I remember that. And that's, I think that this story just shows the caliber of amazing friends that I have, that when our own life tragedies happened, you were there living as Christ would live, trying to show compassion and comfort. And I mean, it's been many decades since, but I still remember my friends were there for me when I needed them.
Thank you for sharing that, Andrea. That was very special. I'm curious, as you both have moved on, obviously, from our teenagers, but now you're both mothers, and Amber's living up in the Bay Area in California. Andrea, you're out in the Midwest of the United States in Illinois. How have you approached teaching your own children about Jesus Christ, and what have you found helpful in helping your kids develop a relationship with him? And Amber, we'll start with you and then Andrea.
Well, as a mom, you learn very quickly that your children parrot you. And as they start to talk, you're like, oh, do I say that phrase a lot? Because you sure are saying that phrase a lot. And so I've taken that also with kind of guiding my children to Christ, that if I'm doing what I should be doing with my relationship, that they will see that example and follow. If I'm serving others, if I'm showing compassion, if I'm praying, if I'm keeping the commandments, they see that. And they definitely do follow. I think also Andrea hit on this earlier on, but pointing out to my children also when they have opportunities to strengthen that faith, right? Like, oh, when they're making a decision, have you prayed about it? What did you feel about it? Do you want to say a prayer together? Or if there's an issue at school, it's like, oh, well, was that very Christ-like? Or what would Christ do in that situation? And so to help them bring examples of Christ into their life is kind of the route I've gone. I'm not an expert, and there's plenty of failed attempts and bad days, but we pick up and start again. Repentance is a big topic also. We talk about repentance is a great way to Christ. And to feel strengthened through that. My kids each have their own special personalities and ways that they connect with Christ too. Kind of helping them figure that out as well. Again, I'm not an expert, but just trying to be, if anything, a sounding board and a safe place to land for them as they get to know their Savior.
I love that. My sister Whitney, who is just younger than me and has Down syndrome, whenever she's late to school, her go-to phrase is "try again tomorrow." And so when you're talking about repentance, and it's true that Christ is in those falls with us, and then we try again tomorrow with him. So it just made me think of that. Andrea, how about you and your role as a mother? How have you helped your kids develop a relationship with Jesus Christ?
Every now and then it happens on purpose, trying to remember Christ. And why do we do what we do? Why do we need to go to church? Why should we read the scriptures? Why should we pray? And remembering Christ in each of those things. We go to church because we love Jesus, because we want to worship him. We read our scriptures because we want to know Jesus and his words. Why do we pray? So we can talk to our loving Heavenly Father, you know, and making sure living a Christ-like life isn't just a checklist, but it's about a person that we're developing relationship with who loves us so much. And sometimes it happens almost on accident. I remember once Bryant, my oldest, was really little. I don't even think he was 2 years old yet. And we were having lunch and my patience was being tried a little bit. So I was taking a deep breath and I went into the kitchen and I just started kind of singing, "I love to see the temple. I'm going there someday." And I was just kind of singing it. And Bryant just kind of stopped and he kind of looked at me and he was like, "Mom, sing it again." And I could tell that he had felt something while singing it and trying to like put my own side and try to like center and find peace and calmness. I had sung about the temple, the Lord's house, and he had felt something. He had felt the shift. And so I sang it again. And you know, I don't remember how well we talked about how he felt during it, but a few days later, he had his little building blocks out and we talked about the temple. He's like, "Mom, I'm building a temple." Like, that's what he wanted to do with his building blocks, because it was just those little things. Like Amber said, they pick up on things like your own habits, almost like unconsciously. I just started to sing a song that would bring me peace, and it brought peace to the whole house. And he could pick up on that. And just recognizing those teaching moments when they do show up. On the other side, I remember my daughter coming home from first grade and asking a question about morality and what was okay. And I just remember stopping and going, "Well, how do you feel when you hear that? How do you feel?" And she's like, I don't feel good about it. It feels kind of yucky." I was like, "That's the Spirit helping you know that it's not right to live that way. Yes, people live that way. It's not bringing you that feeling of peace and joy," and trying to help them learn to navigate their own path while with the companionship of the Spirit, which is available to visit anyone at any time to lead us closer to him.
Thank you for sharing. It's fun to hear about your experiences and your family and just your examples of teaching kids about Christ. And thank you. Well, for sharing those. We wanted to touch a little bit too on this topic of holiness. So this is something in the scriptures, when we read about holiness, it talks about that it indicates like the purity of a person's heart and their intent. And I was actually looking today, we just had a big general conference for our church, and one of the apostles, Elder Christofferson, talked a little bit about holiness, and he quoted a couple of scriptures. In Proverbs, it talks about like keeping my heart with all diligence, and then Elder Christofferson talked about a scripture where it says, "Remember to retain the name of Christ written always in your hearts, and to settle this in your hearts, that you will do the things which Jesus shall teach and command you." And so just this idea of really having settled in our hearts a testimony of Jesus and a purity in our hearts and in our intentions. And so wanted to ask both of you a little bit about this topic too, because again, I feel like this was something that I have observed in both of you, in the way that you live your lives, in what you say, what you wear, what you watch, what you do and what you don't do, but just in those patterns and standards and that way of living that you both have. So as you have learned about Jesus Christ, how have you kind of let that holiness come into your hearts and then had that influence the way you live your lives? Andrea, maybe if you could start, and then Amber.
I would love to hear Amber.
Amber, go for it.
Okay. When you mentioned holiness, I thought of, okay, what are some holy things, or what does holiness mean? And what came to mind is how it's set apart and dedicated for a purpose. And so I thought about that, and how the holiness in our heart, kind of how we've talked about with different standards and keeping the commandments, it provided direction, right? You can easily sift things out of your life when you have holiness as your goal, because it wouldn't bring the Spirit. It wouldn't bring Christ-like thoughts or actions. And it does require a constant reevaluation. I was also thinking about that. You know, there's a lot of metaphors with cleaning a house and taking care of a family, which is what I do full time. And so I think of, you think one spot of your life is in order, and it doesn't take very long. It seems like you don't touch it, and yet somehow disorder enters. And that, again, is like holiness. It's constant revisiting where your thoughts are, where your motivations are, what are your desires. I think I was thinking about what has brought me kind of that focus or dedication in times that I felt holy, if that makes sense. And for me, it has often come as I'm serving or helping an individual. It may be an individual in my family, in a friend circle, maybe through an assignment at church or community. But when I can actually sit down and get to know someone on a personal level or meet their needs in some way, and sometimes I don't even realize that I'm doing it, it is very inspiring, like self-inspiring. Like, that felt so good. I got out of my bubble and I served. And it makes you realize how Christ did it, right? He probably gave so much and received so much in return. And that's how he could keep going. There's so many examples in the scriptures. I'm like, I don't know, how could he go from feeding 5,000 to calming the sea to teaching Peter to walk on water all in the same day? It's like, I can't even, you know, get the dishes done. But when you step outside of yourself, there's an energy and a strength that comes, because God did not send us to islands. He sent us to the earth to be brothers and sisters and to care for each other. And that's where I find that like purity of thought and desire is when I am serving other people.
That's really cool. I had not thought of that at all, but that makes sense as you explain it. Andrea, any other thoughts to add?
I loved what Amber said, because again, this was one where I was like, what is she asking? What does this mean? And trying to come up with a response to it. But I have to agree with Amber. It's when we're closest to Christ and we're trying to serve others and we're trying to lift others and do his work of bringing peace, of bringing relief, of drawing closer to him. That's when it feels the most, we feel the closest to him. And I guess that's what it means by feeling holy. I don't think I would have sat down and listed attributes of myself and included holiness on there. But it is something I'm striving to have in my life because I'm striving to have him in my life. I love going to the temple and feeling close to him there. On the outside of every temple, it says, House of the Lord, holiness to the Lord. Every time I leave, I'm pulling out my schedule, my calendar. Okay, when can I come back? When can I be close to him again? But also when we're able to serve others and to just try to view them as he would view them, with the love that he has for them, and to try to share his love with others, I think is when I would get closer to feeling that holiness in my life.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. Before we close, I just want to ask both of you the question that everyone gets asked on the podcast. And that question is, who is Jesus Christ to you? And how do you know that? And if it's okay, we'll start with Andrea and then have Amber go. So who is Jesus Christ to you? And how do you know that?
I have loved pondering on this question because Jesus Christ is someone I am striving to have a relationship with, someone who I'm trying to get to know. And through experiences, like I said, my faith in him, my testimony, my witness of him was first formed by feeling his love. In quiet moments or as a confirmation of a good choice, feeling his love. So Jesus Christ is love to me. I've also, through turbulent times in life, he has come to be my source of peace. He is the Prince of Peace because that is where we find it. When we're seeking peace, we can't find it anywhere else but in him, that true peace that just stills the soul and gives us that gentle hope for the future. Christ definitely is the Prince of Peace to me. Amber mentioned earlier, growing up and thinking about having that older brother. I'm the oldest in my family, as actually both of you are as well. And the thought of an older brother just sounds amazing, especially a perfect one, right? So Jesus Christ, he's my older brother. He looks out for me. He wants to provide the way for me to return back to my Father in heaven. He lives. He is a real person. He knows my name. I have felt love and the reality of him and his power to save in my life. And I love him with all my heart.
Thanks, Andrea. Amber?
I definitely agree with Andrea. The thing that I thought of when I thought of who is Jesus Christ, and aside from his eternal role as our Savior and Redeemer, he is definitely a peace giver. The world has gone through some very turbulent times in the past few years, and our family has gone through different challenges that have been quite difficult to manage as well. And a song that I often go back to is a song called Peace in Christ, and it just talks about how there's peace in Christ when we learn of him. And I'd play that on repeat. And one day my kids were like, Mom, why are we listening to this song again? I'm like, I need it. I need it today more than anything else. There was a time when it was early in COVID, and it was fire season, and we were literally surrounded by fires on all sides. We could not go outside, and we couldn't go inside anywhere else either because everything was closed because of COVID. So we were locked in our home. That was it. And my kids woke up that morning and said, Mom, we missed the day because it looked like it was dusk already because of how dark the sky was. And we just listened to that song, There's Peace in Christ. And I also look at him as my companion. He is definitely someone that I strive to be yoked with because I can't know the future. I can't know what other people are going to do. I can't prepare myself adequately for everything that life is going to throw at me, but I know that I can do it with him. And if there's a hard time, I realize it's because that we're not equally yoked. I need to strengthen that connection again and restore that relationship, because he does provide strength and peace and assurance as we navigate. And our kids look to us thinking that we know the answers, and sometimes I don't, but I know that as we turn to Christ as a family, that we are strengthened. So definitely Christ is my companion and provides peace for me.
Thank you. Thank you both so much for sharing your testimonies and your stories and all the memories and all the questions. Just really appreciate getting to see you both and getting to have you both on the podcast. So thanks so much, you guys.
Thanks, Heidi.
It was a joy to be here.